Now we had discussed doing Hilchis Basa B'Challah, having done Hilchis Tarubas last year, but since we have just a few weeks until the Yom Ne'irah and Yom Tif intervene, I feel that we should better learn some of the short simanim, Hilchis Dam, and then after Sukkot Yetzer Hashem, on the Sunday after Parshas Bereishis, we'll start Hilchis Basa B'Challah Be'ezras Hashem. You have in front of you Siman Samach Hei, the beginning of Hilchis Dam. Hilchis Dam is actually a number of separate, totally separate inyanim, and most of them related to Dam. And what we're going to learn today, we're going to start Siman Samach Hei. Siman Samach Hei has two parts. The first four sifim, which deal with the deveining of the animal, the nikor, the way the blood vessels have to be removed. And then the rest of the simon, which is really Hilchis Gid Hanosha, which is a separate set of dinim, has nothing to do directly with dam. The introduction to the simon, Chute Masur Mishum Dam Mishum Chela V'dine Gid Hanosha, is a printing mistake. The words Mishum Chelev are not here. They're in the previous simon. The halachas of Chelev on Sima Samach Dalet. Somebody would have a new print of the Shulchan Aruch. I hope they were astute enough to pick up on it and to remove it, because it's not the chelov doesn't belong there, and whenever chelov doesn't belong, you remove the chelov. And Aruch Shulchan also says dine gidei dam gidei chelov. Oh, he's very good. Oh wow, Aruch Shulchan, unbelievable. Who would darshan this? It says chutim asur mishum dam mishum chelov v'dine gid hanosha. Introduction. Doesn't make sense. Dine chelov is simon samach dalet, which is the previous simon. So you want to see how the Aruch Shulchan changed it? Dine gidei dam v'gidei chelov saviv gid hanosha v'nikor and the nikor of the gid hanosha. See, he's refers to the chelov saviv gid hanosha. That makes sense. The chelov, which is around the gid hanosha, that's what it's referring to. We're not going to get to gid hanosha until next week. Today we're going to learn the first four sifim, it's Hashem, and deal with the deveining of the animal. And I have to tell you, first of all, that dine chelov is the main part of the nikor, and it's not really easy. It's very difficult to learn the halachas of the chelov without having a real dead animal in front of you, an actual animal in front of you. It's coffee to bring in an animal. However, dine gidei dam are somewhat easier, because there are a limited number of gidin that have to be removed, and therefore it's a little easier to remove it, to learn it. There is a video, I believe from the Star K, of the deveining of the animal. It has chelov as well as dam. I don't know if it has gid hanosha, but that would be nice if we can get a hold of it and see if it will be useful. For now, we're going to start the halachas of gidei dam. Now, as you know, there's blood everywhere in the meat of an animal, and that blood is removed through one of two procedures: either malicha or tzli. Either you roast an animal, mikra din, you do not have to place salt on meat if you're roasting it. Hamidah is it, when we roast it, we do put some salt. Or you can do malicha, you salt the meat, and in that way it gets rid of the dam. Now that helps for what we call the dam that's muvla bebasar, the blood which is absorbed in the meat. There are some veins which have a large amount of blood in them. I'm going to use the word veins, whether it's arteries or veins. I know there's a distinction between the blood which comes from the heart and goes back to the heart, but as far as we're concerned, there are these gidim which take the blood, and they have a excess of blood in them, and therefore they must be, we'll use the word removed, we'll see soon how you can get rid of them, but they have to be removed. The introduction to this, I'm read you from the words of the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, "Bigemara hishiru al shloisha mine gidei dam." He says, "You should know, in Torah, there are only three blood vessels, three types of blood vessels that have to be removed, and the three are shebiyad, shebelechi, umizrike. Mizrike is the jugular vein, the chutei atzavar. So the only three blood vessels that have to be removed are the yad, the hand. Obviously, there are two because there's one in each front leg of the animal. The front leg of an animal is called the yad by Chazal. We call it four legs. In Hebrew, the front legs are called yad and the back legs are called raglayim. So the two front legs each has a blood vessel which has to be removed. The lechi, the jaw, which today we don't eat the meat of the jaw. I don't think if you go in you can get that cut, even in Glatmart, jaw meat. So the jaw would have to be removed. And the neck, the main vein of the neck, which also has to be removed. Those are the three that are dina de Gemara. Now we are going to learn, the Rambam adds three more. And then Achminig, there are still additional ones. So there are three levels. The three in the Gemara, the three the Rambam adds, and then a number of them that are Mitzad HaMinig. What's important to know is something the Gemara is going to say in Sivkat Nevav, that what's Ma'akev are only the ones that are Dina de Gemara. In other words, anything that was added later is a minig to do, we remove it, but it's not Ma'akev if it wasn't removed. So that really, as opposed to Chelev, which is quite complicated, the Gidei Dam is easy. There are three Gidei Dam that are Ma'akev. If you want to do it, it's not easy, because you have to do it with all the Minhagim. But if you want to learn the Halachis, the main thing to remember is the three Gidei Dam, which are Ma'akev, and although we do everything, the others are not Ma'akev.
What's the reason? So the blood can't come out? That thing
it's an excess of blood that it won't come out through Malicha. Just like if you have a Friday, somebody showed me a chicken that had a black and blue mark. It was the bottom of a chicken, and it was black and blue on the inside. So it was not a treifus shaila. We're going to learn not in samachay, but afterwards in samavav. Now, what you do if you find a black and blue mark in a piece of meat? And the halacha is you have to cut out that dam which is gathered. You have to cut out the black and blue mark, and the rest of the meat you can cook. We can use now. That particular piece, at least she said, wasn't shayach to cut out the black and blue mark. So I told her, cut off the polka, use the polka, and throw out that piece. Not that it wasn't shayach to cut it out, it would ruin the way it looked, she wouldn't serve it. But at any rate, so when there's an excess of dam collected in one spot, malicha doesn't help for that. You can't salt out a glob of blood. Blood which was absorbed, you could, and that's why these veins we don't rely on salting. I've never seen a black and blue mark on behemoth meat. No, you're right. It's possible, I'm sure it's possible, but what? Because the meat is red, anyhow? I'm not familiar enough to know. One other hagdama is that a Simchah Beis in Hilchos Shechita brings that our custom is to cut the veridim, the main blood vessel of the neck, which I assume is the jugular vein. Our meaning is to cut it by Shechita, by chickens, to be makbid, to cut the veridim at the time of Shechita. And what that does is it cuts it when the heart is still beating, and it causes a great flow of blood to come out of the neck. By behemoth, there's no such halacha of cutting out the veridim. Although those of you who have seen a behemoth shechita know that immediately after the shechita, a few seconds later, there's a tremendous gush of blood which comes out of the animal because the animal is in distress and the heart starts beating rapidly. And therefore, there's a tremendous amount of blood that does come out of the neck. And that, we'll see in a minute, lumdis is an important point, which we'll get back to in a moment. Okay, so let's learn Sif Aleph. So Sif Gimel is going to be halachas of chicken, Sif Gimel or Dalin. So what we're learning first is the behema. Sif Gimel is going to be halachas of the chicken. Okay, Sif Aleph. Yesh chutim shasurim mishum dam. There's some chutim, a chut is a vein, which is asur because of the dam in them, kagoyin. Now here, I told you, I have three in the Gemara. Right, what are the three? The yad, lechi, and tzavar. Mechaber here says, chutin shebe yad, v'shebe kosef. He says that which is in the hand and in the shoulder. So the Gra Beis writes, shebe kosef, hein bechlal diyada. That's included when the Gemara says yad. So that's also Dina the Gemara, the hand. And that vein goes all the way up to the shoulder. Maybe someone in biology school can tell me what the English name is for this. I don't know. The main blood artery that runs down the hand, the front leg of the animal. Shebelechi hatachdain shebetzar haloshen. On the jaw, alongside the tongue, on each side, that has to be removed. As I said, mikan mikan. As I said, we do not remove that because we don't eat the lechi. We throw the lechi in the garbage. Maybe they make animal dog meat out of it. Ubaloshin, and the tongue itself. Now again, this is not one of the three in the Gemara, the tongue. So the Gra in Dalit says shebaloshin nichlal b'chlad dulua. That's included in the jaw. That's included in the lechi. So that you have now, we said you have three in the Gemara. I cheated, I said it's easy to remember, it's only three. I said the hand, the jaw, and the neck. Those three become five. Because the hand, you have the kosef, the shoulder added to it. And the jaw, also the veins in the tongue, also are removed. Ubitzavar, and in the neck. Those are the three that are dina the Gemara. I want to explain that, the tongue, in a minute. And then, three more that the Rambam adds. The Rambam adds chute halev. The heart, obviously, has an abundance of blood. The chute ha'ukitz, and the veins at the tail of the animal. The chute ha'dakim, and the veins that are on the intestines. Shehem b'saych shuman ha'dakim, which is embedded in the fats of the intestine. I think achvish is a spider web. They're entangled. So therefore, you have three that are dina the Gemara, three which are five. And you have three that the Rambam adds, the heart, the ukitz, and the intestine. The Magid Mishnah asks, where does the Rambam get to add three more that are not mentioned in the Gemara? So the Magid Mishnah says that the Gemara mentions the three which are closest to the Beis HaShechita. As I told you before, right after Shechita, the animal or the bird expels a tremendous amount of blood. You can see a gush of blood a couple of seconds after Shechita. And the animal's hung upside down. It all comes running out. So those three which are near the Beis HaShechita, you would think they become emptied because of that gush. So the Gemara mentions the three which are closest to Beis HaShechita, which is the arms of the legs, the front legs of the animal, the jaw, and the neck. But Dr. Rambam, the three which are further away, the ukitz, the lev, and the dakin, they also have an abundance of blood. The Gemara doesn't have to mention them because they're more pshita that they have to be removed. And the Rama adds, Noigin lohaser gam ken gimel chutei oirich eitzel hachazim bebifnim. The custom is also to remove the three long vessels of blood that are near the breast. They take out the chutim near the ears. If you want to eat some... Do chickens have ears? Animal ears. I guess chickens also have ears. But at least animals... They don't have protruding ears. So anyway, the chutim are removed back of the ears. And the Taz said, "Well, fisha hay malay and dam." There's a lot of blood there. Okay, he says, "There's blood." I guess there's blood. The Rambam, the way the Magid Mishnah explains, would hold those three are Iker Adin. Apparently, he would hold that they're Iker Adin. And the Gra in Vav brings the Magid Mishnah. Gra Sifkat in Vav says, "Chutei halev hay malu and dam v'had the chashav b'gemar rakani." The reason the Gemara counted only the firstly, l'ravusa, that's coming to tell you a chiddush. Sha'af shehein smuchin lebeis hashchita tzuchei chaticha malicha. Even though they're close to the beis hashchita, they need to be cut and salted. Magid Mishnah. And the next line, l'chuti aleiv, noit l'das arayvit. Avol Rashba kasav shein masurim elois and sheneskarim b'Gemara. But the Rashba holds that no, he disagrees with the Rambam. That only these the three mentioned in the Gemara are the ones that really need nikkur. But now we didn't finish the falaf. The bays over here is a continuation. That's the Taz's bays and the Shas bays. But 1 minute. Excuse me.
The svar makes sense. What Magid
Mishnah
says.
Oh, makes a lot of sense. That's what I mean.
Then the wall in right back like that
here. Makes sense. So still, the Gemara only mentions three. So, and what's not clear to us is the tongue. The way the tongue is designed.
This would say the dam is also. Would the rice, is it shaykh to take this out and be moved in the rice, or in the rice is also?
Min HaTorah, can you do without removing the veins? That's what you're asking? As an aside, dam shebishla is a drabanim. So it's almost never a daraisa when you cook blood. We don't eat raw meat. But yeah, except like the Ram holds dam shebishla is a daraisa. We'll get to it in Mitzvah Shem. But as far as min haTorah, removing these veins for cooking is a daraisa. Dam is dam daraisa. Removing them for tzli, we'll see at the end of Sif Aleph. The Rambam holds that you don't need it for tzli. You only need this if you're going to cook the meat. As far as removing the veins from the tongue, there are two customs as far as how to buy tongue. Anybody who's purchased tongue at Glatmart knows that the tongue looks different than I think just about every other store that you go to buy tongue.
And pickled or regular?
No difference pickled or regular. It's the cut, the way it's cut. If you go, anybody who has had tongue at a cold cut platter knows the tongue has a rounded perimeter. It's not circular, but it's rounded. A rounded perimeter, and it goes straight around. The way that's done, I went to watch Chituch yet when Rabashkin did it in his store here in 1980-81. I went to watch a Nikur for a couple of days. And the way they remove the vein from the tongue is they cut off the tip of the tongue, grab the vein which runs down the center of the tongue, and they give it a tug and they pull it out. I asked the menacher, how do you know where it's breaking? If it breaks further in, further out, how do you know where it's breaking? He said, I don't know, this is the way they told me to do it. You know, Mishkan Talmud Chacham. I asked him which chalav this is. He didn't know which chalav, what's called in Hebrew, chalav shaladakin or chalav shalom. But he said, it's the way we're taught. So I look later, and we'll take a see that's taken the way the nikur is done. The middle vein is pulled out. This is the minig of nikur, according to Minig Eretz Yisrael, which is the minig of the menachrim here. The reason it's the minig of the menachrim here is because all the menachrim come from Eretz Yisrael, and there are very few Americans who are interested in learning nikur. So that's the what? Sounds also had this minig. Okay. What's called the European minig of Nikur is of the tongue is different. The tongue has one vein down the middle and two veins alongside it. Now, obviously, the body is full of veins, but major arteries or veins, they're two alongside. According to the minig, what's called the minig Europe of removing blood vessels, they remove the middle vein the same way, but on the side, they cut into the tongue and cut out these two side gidim. So that if you buy a tongue that was menuker this way, it's not going to be rounded around the perimeter, but it's going to have two indentations. It's going to be almost like a fork. Not quite, but almost like a fork. But the tongue itself has three pieces. It has one piece, another piece in the middle, which is a little higher. And it's cut in, not all the way down like a finger, but it's cut in quite significantly. And it looks different. You can see that it's different. That's the way they do the nikur. They have a hechsher from the Vada Rabbanim of Baltimore. In Baltimore, their minig is to do nikur this way. Rav Schwab was a rav in Baltimore, and it seems that the Germans have it. It's definitely a hither. The way it's done in Glatmart or in Baltimore, Europe, is better, is more than the minig of the way we do it. One second. Let me just finish with the tongue. I looked in the Archa Shulchan how he describes it. And he describes the nikur of the tongue. He's quoting, he says, the Bala Iter, who in turn is quoted in the Torah. Archa Shulchan Lamed Gimel. He says, the following lashon: Noitel halchayayim biyadai. The menacher takes the draw in his hand. Umechatech b'tzakin mitzad halashon, and he cuts with the tongue mitzad halashon. Umaitzi gid echad. He cuts in and removes a gid. Mechadech mitzad hasheini, or might you get echa? Because on the other side, you lose a second gear. Mechadech patah sak and tachas shayrish haloshin. And then he cuts a third cut at the root of the tongue. What's the root of the tongue? Umaitzi mimenu chut shel dam, and he pulls out of there a chut shel dam. I assume it means the front edge. I'm always calling that the shayrish, unless he means that it goes all the way down. It's very thick in the area. I'm reading you the lashon. It says lashon is, it can be interpreted two ways. The beginning of his lashon, it says you cut from this side or from that side. Apparently, their minig is they understand that means in the tongue itself, that in the tongue itself you cut from the two sides.
It. When you look at it upside down,
they pull it out from the back instead of from the tip.
Yeah, the tip
okay, I don't know what I had observed.
The tip has holes in it.
Why does the tip have a hole in it?
It's not cut off.
I know. All right, but that's what I'm referring to. It's all like a needle. I don't know. When I was there, they actually made a cut and they pulled it. Maybe now they're more sophisticated. You see, there's no halacha to cut the tip. They just have to grab that thing and pull it out. Maybe now they're more sophisticated. They do it with a small hole. The bottom is always cut. It has to be cut at some point from the body. You remember the butcher still?
Yes.
So what did they do?
They put a triangle on the tongue.
What do you mean they put a triangle?
They cut.
They cut it and they pulled it out. So it could be now that they... So at any rate, this is the Nikor as it's described. I think the Lush could be touched two ways. It could be touched the way they do it, or it could be touched if the other two are in the Lechi itself. Bitzad HaLashon, alongside the tongue, it could mean to remove the vessel from the jaw, as opposed to the tongue. I suppose that's where the two... He says, V'noytel HaLechayayim B'yadai, U'mechatech B'sakin Mitzad HaLashon. Now, it doesn't say bihalosh, it says mitzad halosh. Umaytzi girecha. It could mean the lechi alongside the tongue.
It
doesn't say you pull the tongue away. It says noitel chiyai biyadai. Umechatech, it doesn't say grab. Umechatech the sack and mitzad halosh. Chiyayim is not tongue, but chiyayim is the jaw. It says you take the jaw in your hand. The loshin, where's the loshin mechaber? Oh, that's the lechi itself. Yes, yeah, so it sounds like it's not the tongue. It's the lechi, mekan, lechi nami. That's, so I don't know.
There's something connected, and this, like you say, got like a
Oh, if you want to be mahadir to have that type, so just don't bite, don't eat tongue. That doesn't tie a train off anything else. Well, as far as the tongue is concerned, if you want to be mahadir, don't eat tongue. But look, this is all minhagim, and it's all mesaira, and whatever you do is good.
There's a reason I didn't eat tongue.
Yeah.
So,
anyway, this is the part of the... of the Nikor, which we could see something of. And now, let's continue with the bottom line on your page of the Mechaber. Krum shel mayach shebekot kait. The krum shel habay. They also remove the membrane on the brain. But the body is amazing. You open up a body, everything is neatly packaged, like, you know, some grandmother would send a package of food to her anacle in camp. So there's a nice, neat cellophane membrane on the brain. The brain has, I think, a double membrane, if I remember correctly, from Hilchus Treifus. So it says here that has to be removed. The same thing, krum sham al abeim, on the testicles of the animal. It's funny, though, it's hard to even imagine that they used to eat the meat of the testicles of the animal, which is discussed also in Sifdalid. But you want to know something? If we have never seen tongue, and people would tell us that, you know, in Africa they eat the tongue of the animal, we would say, yuck, eat the tongue of an animal? But we're so used to it, so it's normal. So by them, they ate everything. Now, what's important here, something very important, that's krum shel mayach, and that's the following. The issue of brain meat is, of how to properly remove dam from the brain, is a significant one, as we'll see now in the Taz Beis. The Taz says, "Krum shalamayach, v'tur kasev in salam v'leichatchan." if you fried, talk about fried brains. If you fried the bread, you roasted the brains. Now we're going to see soon that there's an option. You can salt. The Rambam says you don't have to remove the vein, the blood veins. You could just put them, just roast them, as long as the opening is downward, so that gravity would help the blood that runs run out. The Rambam says you don't have to devein meat if you're going to roast it. So the Torah says, one minute, the Torah says in Salam, v'leichatcham, v'leichinichom, abeis ha-shchitak, ha-krum aser, v'ha-mayach motor. Peel off the crumb, throw it out, and the brain itself is motor. V'tam abeis ha-isif. Harei b'simis ha-meches, kosev ha-tor, af-ha-mayach aser. The contradiction, if you're allowed to eat the brain, if you roasted it, v'tiritz, the kan mayri shahaytzi ha-mayach im krumay. Here it's talking that the mayach with the krum was removed from the skull, and then you roasted it. If you removed it from the skull, so there's no reason for the mayach to be yasa. So the krum, which has some gidei dam, you remove. But the mayach itself is mutter. When it says it's asa, shaharosh shalem, when the head is still whole, the skull is a solid bone. So when you roast it, the blood is not going to run off. It's going to gather there, and the nimsa hamayach mizbashul b'sayichai, and the brain is going to cook in the blood that collects in the skull. And therefore, that's the difference. If it's outside the skull, you're allowed to roast it, and it's mutter. If it's inside the skull, so then the brain meat becomes awesome. That's the teretz of whom? Of the Torah. The Beis Yosef, I'm sorry, the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef, yes, yes. Because we're going to see soon that if you do a chaticha and you put it on the Beis Hashchit, that's going to be more. In other words, the skull is not circular. The skull is circular, but it's not a complete circle. Where the neck is, there's no skull. So if you cut it and put it on a fire, hold down, the blood won't gather in the skull. It's just going to run down and it'll be mutter. Now, what the Taz says, Avshe Dvarav Tumuim Mitzad Loshen HaTor, says Beis Yosef's Teretz doesn't fit well into the language of the Torah. Doesn't sound like it's talking that the brain was removed from the skull. Hetakti Dvarav Lumay Mehen Denacher. We can learn here a different din. Haynu Shemuta Litzleis Kaved. You're allowed to roast liver, which is what until very recently, we all remember, we used to roast liver in the house. You're allowed to wrap it in some paper and put it, obviously, if the fire touches the paper, it's going to catch fire, but it means it's in a place where it's very hot above the fire. We're not worried that the paper is mafsik between the liver and the fire. Father kibishul, and that it should be like it's cooking in the blood. Midishari kambitzay la'mayach b'krumei aleish. Just like you're allowed to roast the brain in the krum, and we say the blood runs out. The same thing. If you take a kaved and you wrap it in a thin piece of paper, something thin. Also, you can rely that the blood is going to run out. And from this, the Taz is mechadesh that type of roasting of a liver is mutter. This is the Chiddush of Tzad. I don't know if silver foil would be the same. Maybe silver foil is thicker. It's not porous at all. So the question really is, what kind of paper? The Prima Gadim is Matmiya. On this halach, he says, meat, blood runs through meat. Anytime you roast a thick piece of meat, the blood from the middle also runs out through the meat. Meat is meat. All meat is slightly different. One's a membrane, one's meat, but it runs through. What's the raya to paper? On the second side of the page, the Gilyam HaShah, the last Gilyam HaShah, on this, it goes on this task, Yishim HaKrachas B'Nayar, the Sefer Choch B'Sadam Klal Amid Aleph Zayin Oy Oyser, Abdi Eved B'Nayar, he asks, is even B'di Eved roasting on paper, Shekaisvin, I guess it means writing paper, Shunasa B'Devek, because it's made with glue. However, all the little bits of paper are stuck together, and when they make paper, it's glued together, it's not porous enough. And therefore, he says that that's a problem. So we have here a kula of the Taz in Hilchus Kaved, which is Shalei B'Mkaimai, it's in Hilchus Dam. And nevertheless, a number of Achrayim disagree. Today, I don't know, brain meat, people, I've never seen kosher. What? Sweet bread? Inner organs are not legal, but does that include the brain? Okay, I don't know. Okay, let's get back to Shulchan Aruch. The bottom words on the page. Now, Umalicha Loi Mahani Im Loi Shechat Chem Tchila V'chituch V'tachas. If you want to salt these things, these areas, you have to cut them and leave the cut pointed down. V'achachach Yim Lachem. This is an important kula. What it says here is you don't have to remove the veins totally. You don't have to remove them. It's enough to cut them. You make a cut in the vein, and then when you salt it, the vein is pointed downwards, and that's adequate for marking removing it. And on the Amud Aleph, Yad Avraham says this doesn't apply to the veins that are on the dakin, that are on the intestines, which apparently I don't recall the Gidei Dam on the intestines, but apparently they're much more Malei Dam, and there he says you have to remove them. I mean, maybe you can't. Is that what he says? He just says the chutei adakim loy mahani chaticha ela nikor. So maybe you can't point it down because it weaves back and forth. Okay. Now most of us don't eat anything that has intestines. However, by the Sfaradim, it's a delicacy. They do have the intestines of the sheep, which they make. We would call it kishka. Well, our kishka is not made with intestine meat today. What? That's all they do. Okay, there they do have. It's incredible to see, to handle it. It has tremendous power stretching. When you get it, it's very, very thin. You can barely get your finger into it. And apparently it expands very much when it's warmed up and stuffed with food. And anyway, so that intestine, the Gidei Dam has to remove. Actually, the whole Chelev is removed with the Gidei Dam from all around it. What? This is still Sif Aleph, by the way. It looks like Sif Beis.
So Chetichah happens to Menalach also?
Yeah, and everything we've said now, Chetichah helps. Right. Not Dafka to remove it. V'hani merely Levashlam B'kedera. That is the Rambam talking. The Rambam Shita is you only have to remove veins of blood for cooking purposes, avalitzli, but if you're going to roast it, einam tzrichan lechaticha v'lei melicha. But for roasting, you don't have to do chaticha, you don't have to cut it, lei melicha, mishum dinura, mishiv shoyev, because the blood draws the blood out, and that's adequate. This is Shita Sarambam. V'yesh mishoyimer, and there's an opinion that disagrees, I think this is the Rajba, who disagrees, and he says, it's only if the chutim, the face of the chutim is on the fire. But where the whole chut is in the body, it's surrounded by meat, and you're just going to cut at the tip of the vein. So again, you don't have to remove the vein, but you have to slice the vein, so that when you salt it, you can turn it upside down and the blood could run out. But just cutting it at the tip, Zakir Rajba, that's inadequate. V'mloy notlam, ubishlam b'lay chaticha. If you did not remove the gidim, and you cooked without cutting them, tzar shishim neged kol achutim. You need shishim against the entire chut. Ubitzli sagi b'klipa. And by tzli, it's enough klipa. We say that we're not b'kiyim between Dover Shamein and something that's not Shamein. And Sli, generally, a Bliya only goes to Dashi Kedai Natila, and if it's a Dover Shamein, it travels further, fatty thing. Now, we're not Bikim or what's Shamein and not, but we have a Kabbalah that Dam is definitely not a Dover Shamein, and therefore, by Sli, Sagi Beklipa, by the Dam, it's enough to remove Kedai Klipa. The Shach, and Sivkat Nivav points out that in Simichav Beis it says Netila. Okay, Klipa is the thinnest Klipa that you can remove is adequate. Netila is the width of a thumb. That's 9/10 of an inch. That has to be removed. It's actually less than a gaidel is 9/10, so it's maybe 7 or 8/10 of an inch, and that has to be removed. Kvar hiksha bedake maishal mashkasav rosh ratur the kasul kan the betzli afilo klipa ed sarach ubavridim itzrichon netila bechilat the chutim elu him oven yosim avridim. The other veins are more, the walls are thicker than the veridim, than the jugular vein. Veinim paltim kolkach bebasar. And therefore, they're not pilot as much. The walls of the vein are a barrier. And therefore, it's enough for klipa. And according to the Torah, you don't need anything. Be aprishav, aprishav machalik, and yinachar ha'insham. So he's saying the reason here it's enough klipa, not netila, is because the walls of the vein itself is something of a barrier. And that's enough to protect that the dam doesn't go further. So this is a halacha regarding the removal of the veins. And sif beis, haroitza latzeis yidei chatichas chutim elu. If you don't want to remove the veins, you want to just cut them, lo yismach al chatichas habasar. It's not enough to just cut the meat, and you'll assume you cut the vein. Al yichate habasar bo'etzem l'shnayim. You have to cut the vein with the bone. V'chutei atzav alay mahani b'hu imchotcham rashiyichtecham afrekes l'shnayim. You have to cut the neck bone. You have to cut the whole neck through in order to be able to be sure to that you're moving the dam, that you're cutting through the dam in order to be able to get it out. A chaticha is in place of removal. If you cut it and then you put it head face down on the tzli, right, that would do, or melicha also, that would be enough.
How?
Well, no, because by melicha there was no machlaikis. By tzli there was a machlaikis. But by melicha, if you have mechaitich tchila and yimlechaim and you point it down, then that's enough. Right, by tzli, we can do without melicha, that was a machlaikis.
Do we do that? Do we do cutting? Do we do at all nowadays?
Do what?
Chaticha instead of...
I think they do chaticha. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait for the video. We'll have to see the session. But I was wondering when I was learning this, the Karban Pesach, they always... it says that the head was mounted on the Karban, right? Was it Rosh Hayal? Was it Rosh Hayal? How did they detach the head without breaking a bone? I'm not a doctor, I'm sorry. Isn't the neck bone go all the way up to the brain? How do you detach a head without breaking a bone? You can't, right? What?
They cut around the spine.
I mean, they left the spine attached, they pulled the head off the... The skull bone is attached to the spine?
At the joint.
What?
It has joints.
Has joints? The brain has joints?
No, the head's head.
Well, we move our heads. So that
has to.
No, you don't cut a bone. Actually. Between the vertebrae. Between the vertebrae, you cut just the foot. Okay, and then... Okay, they could remain the vein. They could remove the veins. The carbon paste, just a bone that they can't cut. Okay? So this is the way we do the deveining of the animal. It sounds rather simple, at least compared to what we picture a big job of deveining it. There are three sets of gidei dam. The lechi today is not even a geya, so it's the tongue, the arm to the shoulder, and the neck, which are cut in it. What? Because we said that's included in Lechi. That's enough. Oh, you mean that it's set over here, you chaytech it and you point. I don't know that that's... No, chaytech it means you would have to cut the vein. It's not cut the tip of the vein. You have to cut through the vein. So they don't want to ruin the whole tongue. We're going to cut the tongue in here. Okay, so at any rate, this is the process of deveining. Now we get to the birds, and here I have a big kasha. I was trying to get a hold of... the Sephardic community, there's a Rav who's the expert in Nikor, I wanted to find out, because if you learn here, every once in a while we find something with Ashkenazim are more mekel than the Sfaradim. It doesn't happen too often, because usually the Ramah is more mashbir than the Mechaber. But here, you'll see now in the birds, there's a Machlaikis Mechaber Ramah, which makes for things different. Now, I have to mention, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, they told me, I don't recall this in the past, that most of the pulka, most of the drumsticks, there's no divaining in the drumsticks, but most of the drumsticks are cut, have a cut in them, because they check the Tzumas HaGidin. This is why I was told. I was listening to a tape. They had a tape from one of the, someone in charge of the meat in the Bedatz in Yerushalayim. Unfortunately, he's not much of a speaker, even in Yiddish. He wasn't Masadr speech, and not everybody knows how to speak. So I really, like he said half things, and a lot of things that you don't know what he means. But one of the things he said was that here in America, they don't check the Tzumas HaGidin, because they say the animals are, the birds are healthier, and therefore you don't have to check the Tzumas HaGidin, and you know, he made a joke. But in Eretz Yisrael, it appears that many of them have started to cut Tzumas HaGidin. What is the Tzumas HaGidin? Tzumas HaGidin on a pulka. In my Chachmas Adam, I have one page, a loose leaf paper in the beginning. If any woman has a shiloh with Hilchos Treifus, from the whole Hilchos Treifus, I wrote down the few cases that ever come up. I think it's all on one side of a piece of paper. As Malakit, the halachas. As far as the drumstick is concerned, there's no treifus in the break of the bone of the drumstick. That itself would not make it a treifus. However, the Tzumas HaGidim are, I don't know if their proper word would be tendons, or not muscle, but tendons. They're ligaments. They look like almost like veins. They're strands. Which one? If you take a chicken leg,
if you take a chicken leg,
and you with its fingers still on top, and you pull it, it's almost like it'll wiggle its fingers. That's a favorite exercise of somebody who's giving a shear. The show and tell is to pull the Tzumas HaGidin and the bird waves goodbye, even though it's dead. Because that's connected to those. The Tzumas HaGidin, if they're broken, close to the top of the drumstick, is a treifus. How close? So Mikra Din, it's three finger lengths. Minig is even half the drumstick in the top half. If the Tzumas HaGidin are broken, then they're a simen treifus. In Eretz Yisrael, they cut that. And therefore, you'll see sometimes, I don't think they used to, 5-10 years ago, I asked them, I said, it's the first time I ever heard of it. And I asked around if they used to do it years ago, they're telling me, the people I asked said that they did not. Whether that's accurate, I'm not sure. But otherwise, we don't see in the bird any sign of any, we get a whole bird, we don't see any sign of any nikur. Let's see what the Mechaber and the Ramah say here in Sif Gimel. Bear in mind, again, the Dina de Gemara, there are three. The Lechi, Savar, and Yad. There are three that need, Medina de Gemara, that need Nikur. Gav Ha'oif. What does the word Gav mean? Gav is the back. Gav, with a pay, is the wing. Now, people say Knaf is the wing. So that bothered me as well. So Rashi answers. Rashi in El Treifis says, Gav is the wing bone, and Knaf, he's the feathery part of the wing. That's how the two words are used. Gaf ha'oif kiyad ha'behema. The wing bone has the same din as the hand of an animal. V'hilkach tzarech lachtech etzem ha'agafayim. And therefore the bone has to be cut, l'molchan, and be salted. V'chein etzem al'chiyayim ba'oif, and so too the jaw of the bird. I can't imagine anybody today, maybe they do. You take a head of a bird, you put it in chicken soup. I guess it would help it would make the chicken soup delicious. I don't know. But if you wanted to, you have to remove. So again, what is Dina de Gemara? We said Yad, Lechi, and neck. The neck of the bird, as I said, the halach is we cut the vrizim open. And the in addition, the Mechaber says you have to cut the wing as well. You have to cut Kiyara behemu, which means you have to either remove the kidei dam, or at least cut them and point them down during the salting. The Yeshayimrim, the Ramah says, ain't tzrichan lito ba'oif chutim elu. By a bird, you don't have to remove these chutim. Mishum shadakinheim, they're very thin. V'adam yaitzim emayidei malicha, how much blood is there already? Whatever there is goes out to a salting. There's no nikar at all on a bird, except for the neck, the main vein, artery of the neck. You have to remove it. Or cut it and cut through the neck bone, cut it into two. If the head of the bird was removed, even if the neck bone was not cut, that's enough. Period. What? It seems possible to pull it off without it. When we get necks, that's cut off at the top. Huh? Cut off at the top, I guess. Okay. One more minig that we have. Now this, I wasn't aware that we all know we don't get chickens with the feet on. Years ago, they sold chickens with the feet still attached.
Not attached.
So Rama says, the minig is to cut off the bottom joint of a bird. Sometimes, you all know, when you eat a pulka, sometimes you do see strings of veins. Even if you didn't remove the foot, he says the minig is to cut off the foot. You don't leave the foot attached to the bird before salting. Even if you didn't remove the foot, you do remove the foot, and you're eating a pulka, and you find a string which looks like a vein that seems to still dark. So that darkness we consider shuman bayalma, and therefore there's no problem eating the pulka, even with that particular string of vein or artery, which is still attached. So here, I have my question. I don't know what the Sfaradim do with the wings of the bird. If their hechsherim require, like usually they go to Mechaber Shita. If you go to Mechaber Shita, then you should need to cut the wings. You shouldn't be able to get a whole wing. She did cut the inside. I want to tell you something. When we were in Empire, we saw something, we asked them where it comes from. It's a number of years ago. The wing, the way we get the wing, it's shaped sort of like a boomerang, if you open it up, right? The two joints of the wing. I think it's at the place where the joint of the boomerang comes, there's a piece, it seems to be like cartilage, it's definitely not bone, that protrudes. The lady there with scissors, snipping them off, as each one passes, snipping them off. Now the lady, Zichah, doesn't know why she's doing it. I asked the menacher there why they do it. So he told me it has no makar, but it's a minig that we cut that off. So now when I was learning this, I looked for a makar. The Daki Tshuva, Sivkat and Chav Beis, he doesn't describe exactly which spot, but he does bring that you cut off a little piece of the wing, the derech sham yetei adam, and that makes an opening for the blood to be able to run out through there. So I'm assuming that is the makar for this custom that they have, which for Ashkenazim is not required. And perhaps that's what the Sfaradim rely on. Now what struck me is the Darkei Tshuva brings it b'shem, the Chidah, who's bringing it b'shem the Radvaz. The Chidah and the Radvaz are both Sfaradim. So certainly, that if they're paskening that way, they're saying that even l'fi min ha-gehem, that's enough of the Chituch, even though we said before the Chituch has to go through the bone. But on the wing, which is a much smaller amount of blood than in the meat of an animal, apparently the minig is that is adequate.
When they're
we have to picture it on. When they kasha birds, the bird is positioned. Most birds are kashered whole. Most batei shchita don't cut the bird open. That's a separate discussion. But they kasher it whole. In order to kasher it whole, the inside cavity of the bird has only one opening, the neck. If you recall, after the head is removed, there's a drill which drills the neck hole larger in the machinery. There's a drill, it's just a simple drill bit which drills it whole larger. When they salt it, the birds are positioned downwards so that the blood from the body cavity would run out rather than collect in the cavity of the bird. Now, I'm not familiar enough with the bird, whether when you position it that way, which they are makbid, whether that the wing, that joint of the wing would be pointed down. They remove all the inner organs. It's a wonderful Japanese machine. It goes down. It has a metal tongue that pulls out all the inner organs, and they hang outside the bird. And then they pass, first the USDA inspects it, the inner organs, and then we do a bedika for trephis on birds in America. Because Rav Moshe has a psak, it's one of them. Shemek wants a list of the psakim of Rav Moshe that established Minig America. Rav Moshe has an early psak that if the USDA is checking for something, then Halach has to check also. The reason we don't check is it's not actually to check easily. But here where it's set up so that they could check it easily, we have to check as well. And therefore the inner organs hang outside the bird on the assembly line, and they pass in front of a USDA inspector, and then in front of a... You can't check the raya. You ever seen a raya of a bird? You can't check. The raya of a bird is even smaller than his brains. But they check the organs for a disease or for a obvious sign of trephis, and I believe they feel the intestines also. As it goes, they feel the intestines for any stones. If they're stones, they don't bother checking for a hole. They just put it with trephis. But that gets pulled out, and then they snip off the liver, and then eventually they cut off all the inner organs, and that's all done before the salting. The only inner organ that stays in sometimes is the kidney. The kidney is embedded in the body of the bird, and it's embedded in, and very often it stays in, which is not doesn't trafe up the animal. But when you talk about a mohudadikar, the Beis Hashim do things in a more mohudadikar, why do they do more mohudar? So one of the hidurim is that they remove the kidney. When I was in, when we visited Empire years ago, I asked the Satmar Shechted in Empire, but they weren't allowed to tell anybody, and Bell Shechted. So I met the Bell's Mashgiach. I said, what do you do differently? He said they do three things differently. First of all, they only have Chassidish Shechted, which to them is very important. They have an extra baitik sakinim on the floor to check the knives, and they snip off the kidney. They remove the kidney from the bird. Those are the three hidurim they had. Later, Empire started snipping off the kidney as well. And really, you're supposed to remove the inner organs before salting. And if it stays in, it says that it's kosher, but the chachila it should be removed. That's a difference between a chassidish shechted and a regular shechted all the time. Whether you pull out the feathers, but as I mentioned once, there's a chassidish shechted and we'll call it a litvish shechted. I don't know what to call it. Chassidish and non-chassidish shechted. There are two differences. One is in the way they sharpen the knives, which each side holds its manner as mahudr. That's not for now. And the second difference is whether they pull or pluck feathers from the makom shechita before they shecht. If you watch a chassidish shechted, that minig is to pull feathers before they cut the makom shechita. The reason for that is that there is a psul, one of the psulim of shechita is chaluda. Chaluda is if the knife is under something during the shechita. In a sheep, which has a lot of wool, you must shear the wool before you cut, otherwise the knife is under the wool at the time of shechita, the knife has to be lavir ha'aylam as it cuts. There are birds that have a lot of feathers where you have to make or I didn't remove the feathers. These birds we have are very young birds. The feathers, kuliyam is not mikra din, but the minig of the chassidish shechtim is to pull out the feathers and then do the shechita. The minig of the Ramah brings this minig and he says it's better not to do it because of tzav alechayim. Since it's not mikra din, it's tzav alechayim, a live bird, you pull out its feathers. So the Ramah says it's better not to do it. And he had a second reason, the mefreshim on the side, because of a chashash, you make a hole in the veshet when you pull out, it might cause bleeding on the inside. So we hold it's better not to do it that way. The chassidish shechtim is better to do it that way. Either way is kosher. The shechtim, he had a second reason. They say a reason not to do it, just the hand gets tired much more quickly if you have to pluck and cut as opposed to just cutting. So, well, anyway, at any rate, I'm not making fun of any minig. These I've been hugging to go back to the time of the Ramah, and those are differences. Okay.
How long do you leave it neck down?
how long do you have to leave a neck down? An hour. It has to be left 1 hour neck down. It's not ma'akiv.
They don't do that.
Sure they do.
It's just haphazard the way they throw it. No. Normally conveyor belt, it goes up and takes an hour from bottom to top.
Which space is shechita? No, an empire, they have big bins. You're thinking of the sulking. The bins, where they salt it, they are large bins that are raised off the ground on a belt. And the birds get put in neck down. They get put maybe 100 birds in one. And the conveyor belt moves very, very slowly. And it takes an hour for it to get to the ring cycle on the other side.
It's a slow ride.
Yeah. Yes, quite a slow ride. You can barely see it moving. It moves very, very slowly. And that's the way it's done. There's no, the halacha is that you don't have to concern with Tzav Alechayim if halacha mandates something. So if they, according to that minig, halacha mandates it, so they do it. The Ramah, if there would be a chesisha person sitting here, give you more reasons why. I'm coming from the Ramah's point of view. He says you should be more concerned with Tzav Alechayim. Either way, it doesn't trafe up the animal, and don't let the PETA people find out about this. Let's first of Dalit just to be mashlim the Inyan, and next week we'll do the Gid Anasha. Beye Zachar calls a man shalai hayo lai shloshim yai mutarim l'kadeira. He spoke about the eating of the flesh of the Beye Zachar, of the testicles. Calls a man shalai hayo lai shloshim yai mutarim l'kadeira. The number 30 days cannot mean you have to shechita before salting, because we always salt within 3 days. So it's likely that it means that if the animal was less than 30 days old, this part of the animal is probably not developed. And then the Mukhtar Mukhtar, but like Klipa, they don't have a special blood flow, a strong blood flow, which would make them require a special treatment. And that's probably the Pshat in the Shloshim Yayin. I thank Dr. Hamawi for pointing out the Pshat. Although I don't think it's halacha l'maaseh, I don't think it's used here in the United States. Now there are a number of other minhagim. The Aruch HaShulchan prints the Seder HaNikor and parenthetically writes, this one has no makar, or that one has no makar. So the Ramah here brings, that's a makar in the Ramah, but he adds, Naigen Lachdoich, Nagul Likach, Menachaseif HaBasa Shekar in Driz, Vein Ba Yisra Rakum Mishamiyus. I don't know what that is. Certain part of the bird to only roast it, not cook it. Vein by Yisra in the Vashlai. I feel like a chila mutter. Chenaygen lahasir ha'aninusa devarda. Ulashlicha v'loy loichla vein Yisra bedava. Vechenagu lastech vein haprosi shalraglai abahema. Lahasir misham habasar. Lavan vidak mishum mius. What's near the hoofs of the bird, of the animal, there's something that's mius. So Ramah brings a number of things that are a custom that are not ma'akiv. Again, if you want to be manaker, you have to learn all these things. But as far as knowing the halacha, you don't have to. The halacha remains. Try to remember the three primary and the three that the Ramah made. Yes. There's a nagu in Nayagin. Nagu means it's not the best thing. You're right. Say nagu means Mishamiyas, I guess. They're making up their own Mishamiyas. So I have to find out about this accusation. It has nothing to do with the Hilchos Treif, it's not with Hilchos Melicha. And I'd like, if I have heard the rumor about it, I don't know the fact. Still, I don't know the fact they pull it. The question of what the pulling does is the issue. Unless you can learn Gid Anasha, I'd like if anybody here could do a little research. Whether the Gid Anasha is a blood vessel, or as everyone says, what do they call it? A sinew. What's a sinew? Anybody know? It is a vein? Is it a vein or is it a... I was always under the impression it's not a blood vessel. If anybody has a clear... sciatic nerve. Is that a sciatic nerve a blood vessel? It's a nerve. Nerve has no blood running through it. I don't know, the Ksava Kabbalah, which is a safer, an expert on Taich. I learned these simanim as Eretz Yisrael now for 2 weeks. This happens to me every time in Eretz Yisrael. I saw as a Tona Avi, Yafsiata Dishmaya. The last night I was in Eretz Yisrael, and the last day actually, I took a flight in the middle of the day. So I pulled out the Ksava Kabbalah on the Parsha of the week, on Parsha Yisrael. And I looked, Ksava Kabbalah, if you're familiar with it, he's an expert on words. I always look for his long pieces. The short pieces are not. The long pieces are always tremendous chidushim. He has a Lysis Gaididum. Lysis Gaididum means you're not going to cut yourself a la mace. He says, why does it say once a Lashon of Srita? Was it Yisritu Saretes? And one place says, Lysis Gaididum. It says, Saretes is a surface scratch, and Gedida is a deep cut. Kamai, Lashon Gid, means a deep cut that hits the veins. Kalashin Gid Hanoshe, and he writes in parentheses for Gid Oder. Oder, I think in Yiddish, is an artery. And he says, Shahu, and he seems to say that it's a blood vessel, the Gid Hanoshe. And when I read that, I said, oh, no wonder it's a Mila Hilchistam, if it's a blood vessel. But then, I asked around, no one ever heard of it that it's a blood vessel. So if anybody can find my Aramakimus on the Inyan, I look in the power of the CIC if I power the Prussian Gid Hanoshe, wasn't saying anything. If anybody can find me my Aramakimus, I'll look for my Aramakimus at the end of the week. I'll just ask Rebelski.